Good morning. This is Devin. I'm your host for Hawaii Matters, and we have here in the studio with us this morning, Dr. Matthew Koenig and also Nurse Matthew Wells. They are here from the Hawaii Stroke Coalition, and it's nice to have you gentlemen here. Hello.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Aloha. Good morning.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here, especially today because today is World Stroke Day. But if we can give people a quick overview of what a stroke is, that'd be great.
There's different kinds of stroke. There's bleeding strokes, where there's a burst blood vessel in the brain. And then there's what's called ischemic stroke, where there's blockage of blood flow to the brain. The strokes that are caused by blockage of blood flow, those have become a lot more treatable. And we're able to do a lot of good treatments to help patients recover for those strokes. And so mostly we're going to focus on that in our discussion today.
Okay, great. So Dr. Koenig, can we talk about your history, how you got involved with the Hawaii Stroke Coalition, stuff like that? Your background is fine. If you want to talk about like where you went to school and all that.
Yeah, no problem. So I'm actually a neurointensivist. So I'm a critical care doctor who specializes in neurology. And I work for Queens Health Systems. Matt Wells, to my right here, actually works for Hawaii Pacific Health. So in some ways, we work for like competitor healthcare systems. But, you know, the message is that we're all working together mm-hmm. in the state to make sure that people get great care.
Okay. And where did you go to school and how did you end up becoming a doctor specializing in what you do?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I'm actually a Baltimorean originally. I grew up in Baltimore, did all my training at University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins. And then I moved to Hawaii in 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, believe it or not, I moved here mostly for the job.
Wow.
And it happened to be in Hawaii. The perfect job for me happened to be in Hawaii.
And you've been doing this particular job since then, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And I've been working very closely with the other neurologists at the other hospitals and with the EMS and the Department of Health in Hawaii to just improve the stroke care that we provide as a state.
Hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, because we are an isolated island in the middle of the Pacific. And if you have a stroke, it used to be where, you know, they could transport you and stuff like that. But here it's like, this is it. This is where we are. So we have to have the best care possible in order to make sure that everybody's covered. Dr. Koenig is also at the University of Hawaii John A. Burns School of Medicine. So he's an instructor there as well. And now I cannot let things go without talking to Mr. Wells. Matthew Wells is here. Mr. Wells, or Nurse Wells, yeah. Thank you very much for being here with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So talk to us about your background. Where did you come from?
Well, I'm actually a local kid. I went to Pearl City High School. Go Chargers.
All right.
And ended up going away to the mainland for college, but came back to Hawaii to finish up my nursing degree and ended up interning in the ER. And then I spent the next 27 years being the permanent charge nurse in the ER at Palimomi. And then over the next several years, for at least the last eight, I've been involved with trauma and stroke, which I manage.
Okay, so as the local boy.
Yeah.
What was it that had you come home? Was there a pull for you?
Yeah, I wanted to do what Dr. Koenig's doing. I wanted to go to med school, but I came back and ended up transitioning during my pre-med studies, getting a nursing degree and fell in love with it. And next thing you know, I was working full-time as a nurse.
Wow.
So best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah, what is the aspect of nursing that you most enjoy? Is it the patients? Is it stuff like that?
I'm actually fortunate to work right in the neighborhood where I grew up. So
wow, no kidding.
Yeah, I grew up in Pearl City. I work at Palimomi. Half the people we take care of, I know or my mother knows from church. So it's really feel good career. I've been very fortunate.
Wow, that's amazing. So people are like, hey, I know you.
Yeah, they're like, hey, Matthew Wells. I was at Palimomi, and they talk.
Yeah, he's got his pigeon down too. It's awesome. It's awesome. So the two of you here actually for the Hawaii Stroke Coalition. Now, how long has this group been around?
Hawaii Stroke Coalition has been around since 2012. And basically it started as a recognized need to improve stroke care as a state by having all the hospitals work together with emergency medical services, our EMS paramedics, to make sure that patients, that we recognize if a patient's having a stroke, that we alert the hospital ahead of time so we can speed up the care of that patient. That we can coordinate on what we do. So it kind of doesn't matter what hospital a patient goes to, they're going to get the same good care.
That's important, right?
Because the
time frame is so close on some of these things. Like if you don't get to them within, is it like 45 minutes or an hour or something?
Yeah, the golden treatment period is 90 minutes from symptom onset.
Minutes. Okay.
So, but there's so few patients who are able to recognize, I'm having a stroke, call 911, get the ambulance to arrive and transport that patient. get the workup done in the emergency room and then treat that patient. 90 minutes is very short to do that.
Well, and I have to say, we know this actually from personal experience. We had one of our coworkers on air. He had a stroke, and nobody knew. He just kind of fell to one knee. Everybody was like, what's going on? Luckily for us, I mean, we're in the middle of downtown Honolulu, so medical care came immediately. The fire department came, the ambulance came, and they took him off as quickly as possible. But yeah, I mean, in the time it took for them to sort of figure out and go, what's going on? What's happening? To getting him out the door, it was probably 30 minutes.
That's actually quite quick, and that's exactly the type of scenario we want to talk about today.
Yeah, no. So, why don't we get into that? Because I know that there's, I'm supposed to remember, because I'm at risk for stroke just because I'm old. I know there are things that you can look for with regards to a stroke, right?
Absolutely. The acute signs of a stroke are easy to recognize. And what we are promoting is a mnemonic or an acronym that's BEFAST. And we call it BEFAST.
BEFAST, right.
And what that does is help us recognize stroke symptoms. And really what we wanted to do is prompt those who recognize what looks like a stroke to activate emergency medical services, i.e. call 911, as soon as is possible, because we realize that treatment starts the moment that the ambulance arrives at your location.
Mm-hmm.
We really have found we collect data across the state for strokes, and what we found is that a lot of people in Hawaii, compared to the mainland, don't call 911. They wait, they hope they get better, or they wait and try to get in their car and come, you know, to the hospitals.
Yeah.
And we really want them to call 911. So getting back to the BEFAST, the B stands for balance. What we're looking for there is any acute or sudden change in someone's ability to stand or walk normally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
E stands for eyes. It can mean a sudden blurring of vision or inability to see out of typically one or sometimes both eyes. F stands for facial weakness, and that would be a facial droop, or the face just looks different on one side than the other compared to the person's normal appearance.
Mm-hmm.
A stands for arm weakness, and what we like to say is arm or leg weakness. And that could be as simple as someone suddenly realizing they can't grasp or hold on to an object, inability to write someone's name suddenly while standing in line at the bank, let's say, and the inability to walk correctly, or maybe they're dragging their foot.
Mm.
S stands for speech, and that would indicate a sudden speech difficulty or a slurring of someone's speech, the inability to find the right words, and or pronounce them as they might normally be able to.
Okay.
And then T, the last one, T stands for time. Time to call 911. Again, treatment starts the moment the ambulance gets there. We know that in Hawaii, we have amongst the worst traffic in the nation.
Yeah.
It can take quite a long time to get to a hospital if you find yourself stuck in traffic. And we want to make sure that the emergency medical services experts are able to initiate stroke treatment as soon as is possible.
Once again, we have with us today Dr. Matthew Koenig and Nurse Matthew Wells. They are here representing our friends from stroke education, but with the Hawaii Stroke Coalition. And what I find really fascinating about the two of you being here is it's nice that it's a working together project. It's not we're going to be in our little silo. The nurse is doing one thing and the doctor's doing one thing, but it's definitely a coalition. But you all working together to say, look, this is something that needs to be addressed and we need to address it soon. You know, you've got that golden time of 90 minutes. Like, outside of that 90 minutes, what are we looking to?
Yeah, so there's actually a couple of different treatments for stroke at this point. For the last 25 years, we just had a clot buster medication, which is called TPA or TNK. That's given through the IV. But there's other treatments for stroke now, and those include minimally invasive surgery to actually remove the blood clot manually, to suck it out or pull it out. And my colleagues do that procedure to directly restore blood flow to the brain. And that procedure is available for a subset of strokes, maybe 20 to 25% of strokes overall. So now that there's multiple treatments for stroke, it becomes really, really important to actually figure out before the patient arrives at the hospital what type of stroke they're having, right? Because the procedure is only available at a few hospitals in the state. The medication is at every single emergency room in the state. So if the patient
so you
got to
figure out where you're going to route them.
Exactly. Right. So if the patient just needs clot buster medication, we want them to go to the nearest hospital and not delay that treatment, right? Because the treatment is the same regardless of which hospital you're at in that case, and that's about 80% of strokes, right? The 20% who have what we call large vessel occlusion, blockage of the major blood vessels at the base of the brain, those patients need to come to a center that is capable of pulling the clot out because we don't want to delay that definitive treatment, right? If they go to the nearest ER and get clot buster medication and then have to transfer from one hospital to the other for the definitive treatment, that eats up a lot of time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
time, you know, we say time is brain. Like the brain, parts of the brain are dying every minute that blood vessel is blocked.
Wow. You know, and people, everyone's got WebMD. So they all kind of think, right? They know exactly what's happening. So I always hesitate on these kind of things just because I don't want people to take away from this this conversation that we're having that all of a sudden you know exactly what kind of stroke you're having. And then, you know, when the ambulance shows up, you're telling them, no, they need to go here, right? To actually let the people who professionally do this sort of say, okay, we know what we're looking for, and I mean, or is there something that somebody can do if they're a layperson listening to this show where they go, ooh, you know, is there something they can tell the firemen or the ambulance people saying, hey, you know, this is what's happening?
Yeah, thanks for that. I think it's really important to note that our content experts at not only Queens, which is the state's only comprehensive stroke center, but in EMS services have been specially trained to identify the differences in the various types of strokes. Mm-hmm. I think what we really want to get across to the lay public and and everyone else is that it's just important to recognize this basic signs of a stroke, period, and get those EMS, those specially trained providers, to you such that they can use their specialized assessment tools to figure out those different types of strokes and where best to take you.
In other words, just call 911 and make sure that they get there.
Yeah, that's the message. And that's why I think that's why we're here together, even though we represent two different healthcare systems, is we don't want patients to overthink the hospital choice issue.
Yeah.
Because that happens. I mean, I've had patients who I could have treated if they had called 911 and gone to the nearest hospital. I could have treated that patient with a clot buster.
Wow.
But the patient chose to wait and have somebody drive them to Queens because they heard Queens is the best place for stroke. And tragically, by the time that patient arrived, they were outside of the treatment window.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, so we don't want people to overthink hospital choice. That's why we designed this whole system of care that starts with a 911 call, the paramedic coming to the patient's home and recognizing that it's a stroke, recognizing what type of stroke it is, working with the hospital in the field. And that means actually texting, voice call, and even telemedicine with the paramedic in the field before the patient is transported, so we can work together to figure out, okay, that looks like a small stroke. The patient should not delay care. They need to get taken to the nearest hospital and get clot buster. Or, okay, that patient looks like one of the major blockages. We really need to bypass the nearest hospital, even if it's a long drive, and bring that patient to a center that can do a procedure to restore blood flow to the brain.
Wow, that's amazing. The fact that you can do all that kind of stuff is quite an advancement in stroke care, right?
Well, I think that arose from the realization that, you know, while stroke is in the top five causes of death across the United States, in Hawaii, it's in the top three.
Really?
And it remains nationwide among the leading causes of long-term and or permanent disability, lost productive years with regards to working life, and costs billions of dollars annually. So what I think the state very smartly recognized was that we need to put together a coalition of content experts that are based in different facilities, and that's why Queens Healthcare Systems, Hawaii Pacific Health, Hawaii Health, the state hospital group, forgive me for the name,
I'm not HHSC,
HHSC, and other organizations have partnered in order to blur our corporate competitiveness in order to really advance this care of stroke patients islandwide.
That's really cool. It's one of those
and
things.
It's all that, islands, yeah.
Yeah, that you think about it and you go, wow, medical care. They're actually trying to help people. Because I think everyone, you know, is so used to people being in competition with each other, and the competition actually leads to not bad outcomes, but leads to them sort of holding back information or not helping each other with information. And it's cool that the overarching thing for everyone in this coalition is let's just get people better and help them get over the stroke. In fact, I meant to follow up. The good news is that I guess they recognized it so quickly they were able to get to him. He was back at work in like 2 days.
Wow. That's great.
And then I guess they got him the clotbuster medicine, and he just came back, and boom, he was back at work. That's amazing.
That's right.
Well, that's the goal. You know, the reality is that, as you know, the unfortunate story that Dr. Koenig just shared about the person waiting too long to receive treatment, the likelihood of you getting back to your pre-stroke quality of life is absolutely tied to your time to treatment. Wow. If we can treat you very quickly, your likelihood of you getting better is markedly increased versus waiting any length of time. Because during and after stroke, you're losing 2 million, almost 2 million neurons or brain cells every minute. And those neurons, those brain cells, are the ones that make us who we are. They help you speak, move, go to the bathroom, brush your hair, brush your teeth, drive your car. All those things that make you who you are being slowly but surely affected by the active stroke. And if you can get to a place where you can receive treatment ASAP, again, the likelihood of you having the outcome that your colleague did are markedly increased.
Yeah, I would be forever impressed by how quickly he was able to get his care and the great outcome that he got. Because I've also known people who've had strokes, and like you said, they sort of sat back and said, it'll be okay. And it's, you know, like a couple hours later, and they go, oh, I'm really not feeling good. And you go, oh, no. Because I think what it is, even though you've got BFAST, I think some of them feel like, oh, they want to bother somebody with this problem. It's something it's indigestion. It's not a major deal. Or they only have one of them and not, you know, they're like, oh, I have to have all of them in order for it to be a stroke. And that's actually not the case.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And the fact is that the person who's having the stroke is not going to be the one who calls 911.
Mm.
That person may tell you, don't call 911. Like, I'm okay. They may not recognize that they're having a stroke at all. Mm. Because the stroke, it affects your brain, right? So if your brain is not functioning normally, you're not thinking clearly.
Right.
And so there's a lot of patients, they may be completely paralyzed on one side of their body. They have no idea, right? Because the brain is not functioning.
Mm.
That person's not going to call 911. They may not recognize they have a problem at all. And so when their relative says no, or their friend or their colleague says, there's something wrong with you, I'm going to call 911, the person who's having the stroke often tells them, don't call 911.
Right.
Some of it's denial. Some of it's like concern about, well, I don't want to make noise for the neighborhood. Some of it's...
That's always... I never understood that part. I was like, well, what do you mean?
Right, the nosy neighbors.
The fire truck come? I don't get it. Yeah.
Right. You know, some of it's, you know, some of it's concern, like, is my insurance going to pay for this ambulance? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to take me to the right hospital?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of reasons people don't call 911. But what it really comes down to is most people who are having a stroke aren't thinking clearly.
Yeah.
And so as the coworker or as the family, you need to kind of push through that, no, don't call 911, and be confident, no, I'm certain this is a stroke because I was taught this BFAST.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure this is a stroke. I'm calling 911, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we hear that again and again and again. We're actually going into the school system and teaching kids to recognize stroke.
Oh, nice.
Because they're going to be the ones who call 911 when their parents and grandparents, right?
Right. Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, today is actually World Stroke Day. Can we talk about that a little bit, other than the fact that we're trying to keep people from getting strokes with a thing like this? It's an awareness thing?
Yeah, thanks. So we have two big events in the stroke world. One is May. The month of May is Stroke Awareness Month. And so often you see a lot of educational campaigns around that. And then this particular day in October, October 29th, is World Stroke Day. So worldwide, not just in the U.S., there's a big push for educating the public about signs and symptoms of stroke and really focusing policymakers and others on the need to take care of patients with stroke.
Okay, great. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Nurse?
No, it's just a real focus for our activities and helps us organize fundraising activities, legislative activities where we actually go and lobby for things. It helps us organize those for the future legislative
session. Let's talk about that a little bit as well. There are some things that government can do to sort of help
For sure. We actually have a very strong partnership with the State Department of Health here. They've recently helped us get stroke educational materials out onto our public transportation avenues, i.e. the bus. We're looking at getting signs up on the new rail. And it's actually a real strong partnership. They actively provide us with funding to help us produce educational materials as well as get them out into the community. So real strong partnership with our Department of Health and local government here in Hawaii.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, and it's always good to make sure that our people in the seats of government are aware that that strokes are a main cause of death here in Hawaii. I guess it must be kind of nice that our governor is a doctor, so he must be quite aware of the, I guess, the challenges sometimes, right?
For sure. Dr. Green, our governor, is very much aware of stroke care. He works at one of the state's participants in the Hawaii Stroke Coalition. At times, even I think he still pulls shifts even now.
He does.
As I understand. So, ER medicine is key in partnering with our content experts, our neuro providers, our neurology doctors, our neuro intensivists, in making sure that we provide the best stroke care.
Okay.
Possible.
Once again, we have Dr. Matthew Koenig here with us from Queens Medical Center and also the Hawaii Stroke Coalition. And we have Nurse Matthew Wells. He's here from Palimomi Medical Center. And yes, I know, I did say that they work at two competing places. But with the Hawaii Stroke Coalition, they felt it was important that everybody get together to make sure that the understanding of strokes, how they happen, how they can be prevented. So are there a group of people that should be worried about this more than others? Does it matter?
Yeah, I think everybody needs to know about stroke. Even if you're not the person having the stroke, you may be the first responder and have to recognize that a person's having a stroke. So it's really the whole age gamut that needs to understand what a stroke looks like. Stroke is a disease of aging. So, you know, it is more common as people get older. But I've treated teenagers with stroke. I've treated
Wow.
people in their 20s and 30s with stroke. So it does happen throughout the whole, even children, right? It does happen even throughout the whole lifespan. But I think the bigger need is for everybody in the public, including kids, to be able to recognize if an adult around them is having signs of a stroke, because they need to be a hero and activate 911.
So I guess the question, too, is it a thing of awareness for us, which is why people are looking to strokes as being a cause of things? Or is it, you know, like, it seems like this coalition was started like 15 years ago, 12 years ago, but there had to have been strokes before that. Is it just that people didn't recognize that they were having them, and now with more awareness, we're able to sort of pinpoint it and say, okay, that's what's going on?
I think this arose out of an identified need. Hawaii tends to have, for whatever reason, and it's not super clear, I know Dr. Koenig probably knows more about this than I do, but it's not entirely clear why the Hawaii stroke is in the top three causes of death versus the top five as it is in the nation.
And it's not an ethnic thing. It's just people living in
it. There are some ethnic aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
Native Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders, Filipinos, African Americans are more prone to certain types of strokes. Mm-hmm. And people of Asian Americans, the Asians, are actually have more of the bleeding type of stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Than we see nationwide. Excuse me.
As Matt was saying, stroke is just very, very common in Hawaii. There's 3,000 strokes a year in Hawaii.
So that's a lot.
So you're talking about 8 or 9 people per day having a stroke in the state of Hawaii.
Okay.
And it's a major disabler. Really, these people disabled. The good news is that we have treatments now, but there's different treatments for different types of stroke, and it's just time is just so important. Mm-hmm. Like even minutes are so important. So it really increases the need to make sure we see that patient before they get to the hospital. We have all the information about that patient before they get to the hospital, because that way we just need to get a quick CAT scan, make sure there's no bleeding in the brain, and then we start treatment.
Hmm.
So if we can speed up that whole process and know about the patient from the paramedic, the time that they arrive in the home or the business where that patient is, they alert us now. They give us the patient's name. They give us the patient's date of birth, the contact information for the family who can give consent for procedures or tell us about, you know, medical comorbidities or what medications they're on.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually see the patient in many cases through video in the ambulance, mm-hmm. either before they left the scene or in transit to the hospital using video. I can talk to and examine the patient before they arrive. So if I can do all those steps before the patient arrives in the hospital, I don't have to do any of those steps after they arrive. right? So that shaves off, could be 20, 30 minutes of the workup.
Well, that's amazing.
And in the stroke world, with losing 2 million neurons a minute, that's a huge amount of time.
Yeah.
It can mean the difference between being disabled or not disabled.
Wow, that's amazing. I have to ask, has COVID had any sort of thing on this?
Yeah, so COVID is interesting. So there'd been a lot of theories before COVID that, you know, why at this moment are you having the stroke or heart attack? You know, why is this person especially prone to clotting at this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And there had been associations before COVID about viral illnesses causing an inflammatory response in your body. I mean, when you get a virus, you feel it, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just that you're coughing or stuffy nose.
Fever.
Your whole body,
right.
You know, you feel things aren't normal, right?
Yeah.
So that's an inflammatory response that is system-wide in your body to fight off that virus, right? And some of that inflammatory response can increase your risk of forming blood clots. So that had been well known before COVID, and it was really confirmed when COVID hit, because we were seeing a lot of young people who had no risk factors for stroke at all, who had just gotten COVID and then had the big strokes, the large vessel blockage strokes.
Oh, interesting.
Big uptick in that during when COVID surges were happening locally.
So, again, as all the medical people have said, the COVID thing, it is real.
And please get vaccinated.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to make sure we added that part in. Well, actually, we are almost out of time here. So Dr. Matthew Koenig and also Nurse Matthew Wells, thank you so much for stopping by. We're going to go over those six things again for BFAST. If a person has balance issues, they have eye problems, face drooping, arm weakness, speech problems, it's time to call 911. And once again,
absolutely.
Yeah, and once again, the golden time is about 90 minutes. So the quicker that you recognize someone, the quicker that you get on the phone, call 911 and get those people into the house as quickly as possible. Get them doing the diagnoses. Okay. Anything you wanted to say in closing, gentlemen?
I think Matt Wells here said it very well, which is that stroke care starts in the ambulance, right? It's not just about getting to the hospital faster. Sometimes people feel like, oh, I can beat traffic if I come by private vehicle. But the whole system that we put in place, you know, recognizing it's a stroke, doing all those steps before the hospital, making sure the patient goes to a hospital that can actually take care of a stroke, that whole chain of survival, what we call our stroke system of care, only works if you call 911.
Right.
You know, if you show up in our lobby and have a stroke symptoms, you may wait and be screened, and you may miss the opportunity for treatment.
That's right.
Or you may go to a hospital that's not actually capable of treating the type of stroke that you have. So 911 is the way to go.
Okay. Once again,
And then last but not least, you know, we believe that about 80% of all strokes can actually be prevented. And in Hawaii, we tend to have a bit of a salty diet. Things like maintaining a healthy blood pressure, starting to monitor and know what your blood pressure is, making diet changes, move towards low salt shoyu. towards low salt shoyu. And just watching the things that we eat or making our meals and our foods a little bit less likely to really affect your blood pressure the way that they can here in Hawaii are just easy steps. If you smoke, quit. If you've never smoked, don't start. Don't vape. Avoid illicit drugs. Methamphetamine and cocaine and things like that are always risk. Increase your risk for stroke. There's a plethora of things out there that we know can decrease your risk. We just want to make sure that people know that strokes can largely be prevented. But if you have any of those signs that we talked about in the BFAST, please make sure to call 911 and let the experts across the state take good care of you and try to get you back to your pre-stroke quality of life.
Okay. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Appreciate you stopping by. From the Hawaii Stroke Coalition, we really appreciate it. Hopefully this has been an educational time for you. We will see you next week with more Hawaii Matters. Till then, this is Devin on behalf of Dr. Koenig and Nurse Wells. Thank you so much for being with us. Aloha no, ahui ho.
Aloha.
Aloha.